The following program is produced by the Tech Talk Radio Network.
All right, people, take out your notebooks and pencils and slide rules. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio with true geeks. And by the way, I'm Dee Snider, and I'm a geek too.
Welcome to another episode of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeer.
And I'm Justin Lemmy.
And Justin is back from his trip to Japan.
Konnichiwa.
Yeah. I saw you.
It's fitting that he scheduled his trip over the Apple releases so we could talk about it without him here.
Yeah, that was very convenient. You know,
I did plan that.
You did? Yeah, because you got the new iPhone 14, you got iOS 16, and you were here to give us the snores because you're not a fan of Apple.
Dude, I mean, I followed along with the whole Apple thing, right?
Right, right.
And I was reading some stuff that made me just snicker like a little schoolgirl.
And every thought in your mind was, Android's been doing that forever.
No, well, I mean, yeah, obviously. But even the Apple fanboys were looking at the iPhone 14 going, what, am I missing something here? Like, what's the difference between this and the 13? It's literally the same.
The dynamic
product.
Island.
Oh, the dynamic island. There you right. go. There's a reason to spend another $1,300 on a phone.
Now, much to the chagrin of Justin, Sean, some people don't, and some people have said, all they know about the new iPhone is that it does, of course, the SOS stuff, which I do know, I will say, Samsung is working on with their new
Wait,
devices.
Hold on, SOS. So you're saying that Apple's using technology from like 1910?
They're using satellite technology. So say Justin, you go off into the Rockies, right? And you're hiking and you get lost and then you realize you need help. Well, if you don't have a signal, because there's no towers maybe nearby, it'll help you triangulate on a satellite that would be moving over the area and then send out quick SOS, basically alerting emergency services that you need help. And then it can send quick little notes like, okay, how many of you are there? Do you need water? You know, is anybody injured? All of that.
I need
to
an
help.
Android phone.
To help those that may want to help look for you. So, but I do know that Samsung made the announcement they are working on that same technology. And it's going to be free if you get in. And this is what some people thought, that it's going to be available on all, you know, iPhones going back to the 8. It's not. It's going to be available on the iPhone 14, and you get it free for 2 years. After that 2 years, you'd have to pay for that service. For me, when do I leave the house? What are I going to send an SOS because I'm stuck on the 10 freeway? You know, it's not going to apply to me.
I get that. I like that feature, and that is one feature that Android has not had
yeah.
in the past.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I just don't see anything else worthwhile to get the new iPhone 14.
All right. So let me ask you, do you have stabilization on the Android device that you have? You have the Pixel. Do you have stabilization?
Yes, I do.
So like
yes.
you can run behind somebody and it's going to be stabilized. Not like everybody
well,
does
I
that.
I mean, to a certain degree, sure. I mean, I have my DJI Pocket 2 that does much
better
stabilization.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, there's a little bit of stabilization on that.
Yeah, yeah, they're saying that this one is pretty good. It's also good for those that are really outdoors people. I mean, again, then I look at it and I go, okay, how does that apply to me? It really doesn't.
It's not only just all about the iPhone. Can we take a moment to talk about what Google is doing here very shortly?
Well, yeah, they're going to launch a new Pixel, right?
Well, not only just the Pixel. I mean, they got a whole new line of products coming
really?
Out. They got the Pixel 7,
right?
The Pixel 7 Pro, you know, all that stuff, right? So you got the Pixel 7, Pixel 7 Pro. You've got the new Nest coming out, the Nest doorbell, the Nest I want to say there's a new Nest thermostat coming out. Then you've also have the much anticipated, which is what I'm going to be getting, the Pixel Watch.
Oh,
and
nice.
Yeah, so I've been hearing a lot about it. Then I heard that it was going to be delayed until like November for the actual sales. But the Pixel Watch, though, this is what I'm interested in. I got a Pixel 6 Pro. I don't need a Pixel 7, all right? I mean, people are talking about it, whatever. I'm good with the Pixel 6 Pro. But the Pixel Watch, what they're saying is this is going to be the closest thing to the direct competitor to the Apple Watch. Now, I mean, you've got the Garmins out there. You've got the Fitbits, which is owned by Google. But you've got the Garmins. You've got the Samsung Galaxy watches. The thing is none of those watches run true raw Android. And the Pixel Watch will be running Wear OS 3, a brand new redefined image of Wear OS 3.
What is going to be the biggest advancement on the Pixel Watch? Is it going to be battery life? Because I've been hearing a lot about that.
The battery life is supposed to be up to like 72 hours or so. So that's in line with a lot of other watches. But what's different about it, people are saying, well, the Pixel Watch has got a processor from 2018. Okay, yeah, it does. But it also has a second processor in it. And that second processor is going to be dedicated, I believe, directly to the fitness side of the watch.
Oh, which cool.
Takes up a lot of battery on its own.
Are they using some of the technology from the acquired Fitbit company
absolutely.
To put in the watch?
Yeah. So there were just leaked images a couple days ago. The Google Pixel Watch have already been delivered to places like Target and Walmart, and people are releasing images of the box. And it says on the box, you know, obviously Pixel Watch. And then on the bottom corner, it says powered by Fitbit.
Ah, got it.
So they're going to utilize that technology that they purchased in Fitbit back in what was it? 2018 is I think when they purchased Fitbit.
Right.
They're going to utilize that technology. So you're going to have a processor dedicated to the general operation of the watch. That's going to mm-hmm. be the older Tensor 2, I want to say.
Right.
And then you're going to have a second processor, which I believe is going to be a Qualcomm. I could be wrong on that. Snapdragon, that's going to be dedicated just for the fitness aspect of that.
Now, I know
it's a dual processor watch.
Some people that are running Fitbit are a little upset because now to be able to have the Fitbit, apparently you're going to have to log in with a Google account. Now, Nest has been trying to do that.
That's not nothing new.
Yeah, it's like when I first got the Nest notification that it was going to move to Google. I was like, oh, no, why are they doing that? You know, yeah. Like,
do you have any Google products, Sean, like the Nest or the Hub or anything like that?
He's wise all the way.
Mm-mm, no.
No.
I do not have any Google products.
Everything. Did you ever do the Wise Thermal? Were you going to do that?
I have the Wise thermostat.
Do you like it?
Yeah, it works great.
Yeah, because I like the Nest. Yeah. I had the Nest in a box for years. My kid had given it to me.
I mean, I'm also not doing anything crazy with it. I mean, I can control it from my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I can set a schedule, but it's not like, you know, we don't have an Alexa or whatever. So we can't talk to it and say, hey, Alexa, turn up the heat to 72.
So big question here. I know you don't want to do the Amazon Alexa. You don't want to do the Google Home Assistant. If Wise came out with an AI home assistant, would you do it?
I don't want a smart home. I don't know if I'm a hypocrite for this, right? But I want to have smart technology in my home. Smart bulbs, light bulbs, lamps,
right.
Thermostat. But I feel there's no need for me to talk to my phone or talk to a device to do things. I can open up my phone and do it, or I can walk over to the wall and turn it up or turn the lamp on.
Okay, boomer.
Not for me.
Because you haven't seen the light yet. You haven't seen the light.
Like I
love it when I can just say, okay, Google, turn off the basement lights.
Well, I just learned... He's sitting in the dark now.
For those of you who aren't watching our show, Justin just said, hey, Google, turn off the basement lights. And it turned off his basement lights.
Yep. Yes, it did. It did. Okay, Google, turn on the basement lights.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. So now I bought a couple of lights, or about three lights. And I got those from, I think I went to Home Depot or Lowe's. And I integrated them. And it was like, I got the app. And every time I wanted to turn the light on, I'd have to say, you know, Alexa, turn on color light one. Alexa, turn on color light two. And it would do it. And then turning it off, sometimes it would miss and whatnot. And if I'd forget and physically turn it off, then I'd be messed up. I'd have to go fix it. Well, then I found out that you could create groups. I didn't know about that. And if you get some of these lights, what's nice about it, so you can label your group, name your group. So if you have kitchen, you could say, you know, Alexa, turn on kitchen group. And it will turn on the lights in the kitchen or any other things that you apply to that kitchen group. So, I mean, the technology is there. But I tell you, Sean, it is, once you get to using it, it's really comfortable to be able to just say it.
I know that, like.
What if I got you one for Christmas? What would you do with it?
Send it back.
Wow.
I sent one to my, and I have a friend that feels the same way about, like you, Sean. I sent an Alexa Echo Dot device to my buddy in Idaho. And when I went to go visit them, where was it? It was in the drawer. They didn't even hook up.
And I don't know. It's call me a boomer, call me whatever you want. It's just, it's not my style of home life, right? It's not, Caitlin doesn't care for it either. So it's like,
yeah. So it works for you.
That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, you got what's necessary, what's needed. You like the cameras, the security, keep an eye on Max, all of that stuff. And
yeah,
but yeah, going back to the Google Pixels devices, would you be upgrading? What point? Cause I'm at that point now. I'm at the 8. I think it's time. You know, I've kind of gone past, I'm at the iPhone 8.
Oh,
and I'm thinking it's time. And my question has been, okay, do I go to the 13 or do I go ahead and go with the 14, go all in as I did with the 8 when I finally did the upgrade from the 6? It ticks me off though. Let me tell you.
You're not considering moving to Google?
I've been considered moving to Samsung because the Fold, the Z Fold 4, I just love.
I was able to get my hands on one of my cousins got the Flip.
The Flip, okay, the Z Fold four
the
Flip.
Not the one that flips vertically, but the one that folds out.
That's the Fold. I love that one.
Surprisingly, I liked it. I wouldn't get it because I drop my phones. All, I mean, I would break it, and I would probably snap it in half on accident somehow.
How fast did you break your last iPhone?
It took me like a day and a half. because I hadn't got a case for it. I was literally leaving work to go to Best Buy to buy a case. It fell off the counter at the bathroom and hit the tile and shattered the back glass. But my cousin had this, the Fold. And I will say it was cool when he could unfold it. And now your video is big.
It's like a phablet. It's a tablet, basically.
But it was like, it was seamless. He opened it and all of a sudden it was that big. It would fill the whole screen. It looked cool. Like it was more real estate to work with. I mean, it looked cool, but that doesn't fit my technology style.
One of the things though that I will say that I like, and I don't know, you know, I was kind of bummed that Samsung raised the price point for the Fold. The Z Fold 4 is pretty much up there. You're looking at $1,800, you know, and again, it is very nice. It is like a phablet, which is, you know, a phone and a tablet all in one. But I do like that Apple kept the prices at the 13 level. So, you know, they put out the 13. The price is going to come down on those, I'm sure. The Pixel has done the same thing. The prices came down on the Pixel with the announcement of the newest one, the 7. And I'm sure the prices will stay close to where the Pixel has been on the previous model. But it ticks me off that they're doing this so quickly now. Let's face it. We had a couple of years in between models, maybe 3 years in some cases. And now they're doing it like every year, and already
every year, now
they're announcing the Samsung S23, or at least, you know, talking about that, getting, you know, the pictures are getting out there. It's harder to keep secrets now because you have to go through all the clearances and they're available through, you know, FCC filings, the whole bit. But I'm wondering, you know, is it too much? Don't you think the people are going to be like,
it is because how are they going to force people to keep buying new phones? They're going to continue to do it every year. So you're going to get forced out of your phone, the OS, sooner and sooner, right? You're going to need to have the newest OS to have the newest features. Well, the newest features aren't going to be supported by the old hardware.
Right.
So you're already seeing that creep now where it's like, had I kept the 7, I would not get, I'm out.
Yeah.
I can't get iOS 16. Right. I don't even think I could have gotten iOS 15. I think the 8, I don't think, can you get iOS 16 on the 8?
Yeah, I was able to go to 16 and 16.2, which is out now. A battery life has been drained, which, you know,
It's
a constant when you upgrade to an OS, when a new phone is out, a lot of us will say it and some will say it's a conspiracy, darn you, that the battery life tends to drain faster. And well,
it's optimized for a larger battery.
Yeah.
So it's optimized to have a higher discharge rate, you know, because they output more power. So it's optimized. So you drop it to a lower a lower quality battery, and you're going to see that. So I get that, right? And that sucks.
Yeah.
But it's the nature of technology, right? You're always progressing. You want to move forward with technology. But
when Sean, do you think you would upgrade? Because you have the 13 or the 12.
The 13 Pro.
When would you upgrade? Well, like what model? Like 15, 16?
I mean, you got to look at it this way, right? I went from the 7 to the 13. I waited 5 generations.
Yeah.
6 generations.
That made me count. I don't
do that. Because I was happy with my phone.
Yeah.
It did what I wanted it to do. It took great pictures. It took good video. It connected to the internet. It had enough storage. We were at the point where I was going to outgrow the iOS, and Caitlin was looking to get a new phone, and we were just about to have Max. We wanted to be able to have a higher quality camera, and we made the jump.
See, here's the thing, Justin. If you were to upgrade and go with Apple and go with the iPhone, you know, the new iPhone 14, and you got the Dynamic Island, you could then have a Tamagotchi-like cat on your island, and it could live there, and you could feed it, you could pet it, you could speak nicely to it. And that's one of the features that people have been talking about, the Tamagotchi cat, that it's a third-party app, but, you know, why not?
Of course, that's worth $1,400. Absolutely.
Pixel
Pal. $1,400 pixelated okay. Tamagotchi cat. No, honestly, though, I you know, talking about upgrading, right? I'm trying to mention this, too, but I got the, you know, the 6 Pro, and I don't need to go to the 7. I don't need to go to the 7 Pro. I may wait until the 8 or whatever. So I think, you know, the companies that are doing this, you know, Apple and Google and Samsung, whatever, they're coming out with a new model every year. I don't necessarily hate them for doing that. I think that
it's business.
What they're doing is they're trying to get the people that are going in between cycles.
Yeah.
So instead of people having to wait 3 to 4 years for a different phone, what they're doing is they're allowing people that bought one 3 years ago to say, okay, it's been 3 years, I'm going to get this one.
Yeah.
The people that bought one 2 years ago, they're going to wait for that next one after that. So every year, you're going to get somebody who's had one for about 2 to 3 years, and they're about to say, okay, it's time to recycle and get a better one. So, yeah. I mean, that's just the way it is.
You know, what's really funny, too, is you remember it was the PC industry that did this. Originally, it was PCs. Mm-hmm. Before, you know, we started really getting deep into the smartphones, you had to have a 386, then you had a 486, then you had to have, you know, Core 2 Duo, then you had to have Quad Core, and they're still doing it. I mean, Asus just announced a new board, the Z790, and right away I'm going, ooh, I want that. And it's for the new generation of Intel processors.
Yeah.
You know,
well, then AMD, you also got NVIDIA that came out with the 4000 series of their GPUs, and people are like, no, thank you.
Did you see the price, though?
No, it doesn't matter the price. They're like, this is stupid. Like,
the price point on these new GPUs that are coming out are going to be less, much less than what, like $1,500 than it was for a 3080 just a year ago because of the pandemic. Well, that was like $2,000.
Well, because of the pandemic and also because of the scalpers. And the same thing's going to happen to the 4000 series. The scalpers are going to take them. It's the same thing that's going to happen. They have not figured out a way to stop the scalpers. So once again, And honestly, the 4000 series, they're like, oh yeah, it's gonna be 3 times as powerful as the 3000 series. No, it's not. Shut up.
But the big problem too is if say you get that 4000 card, right? Pop that in your machine, you're still running on the older CPU, the older motherboard, the older RAM, the older. And so it's a never-ending battle.
For me right now, that is the bottleneck for my system. I just upgraded to the Ryzen. You know, I went AMD. I told you
that's
this.
Right.
I went to the Ryzen 95, I think it's 9550 is what I have right now. And it's the second to the fastest processor on the market for AMD. And I got a new motherboard that is the second to the top of the line motherboard. The only thing is I have an NVIDIA RTX 2080 Ti. So I'm sitting on the 2000 series. However, it's the Ti. So it's obviously the top of the line for that series. And I can run almost anything just fine. So I just don't find a reason for me to have to want to upgrade to the 3000 series or even the 4000 series.
Yeah, I do want to go to the 3000. But again, what games do I play that I'm going to benefit?
You don't play any games, dude.
I really don't.
Solitaire, Minesweeper.
I keep wanting to, but it's a matter of sitting down and actually doing it. I haven't had time. You know, I've been chasing down a matter of fact, a computer problem that I want to get your advice on, too. All right, speaking of battery, I do have a question for you. I want to show you something. I'm going to show this on the camera.
Okay.
This little guy, if you could see him, was a gift from Western Digital. This little guy came as a gift from Western Digital almost maybe 10 years ago. right? I want to say maybe even longer. The other day, I picked this little guy up because it sits on my shelf here. And I squeezed it.
Did you back it up? Huh? Did you back it up on WD Drives?
I don't know if you heard it. It still works. How? Yeah. We're talking 10 to 12 years old. It's still, by pushing it, still, it's, what is it, solar? Has it got a soul in it? I don't know. How do they do that?
I don't know, man.
Very bizarre.
I mean, if it's passive and the only time it draws power, if you do it, it's not going to drain.
I guess. But I got a kudos to Western Digital.
Have you actually looked inside of it to see the batteries or if they're corroded?
No, I don't want to take it apart. Oh, wait. Hold on. I can actually lift the foam rubber out of it. Wait. This is... Ooh, what the heck? This is scary looking in here. There's like
a logic... And stuff?
No, there's like a logic board. Oh, look. I just pulled the insides out. This is all it is.
You just gutted them.
It does sound like he's slowing down a bit. So I think I just killed him.
What does the battery look like, though?
It's a little... It looks like a...
CMOS battery?
Yeah, there's four of them. They look like little bullets. Very bizarre. I'm going to have to post that on our website. Oh, look. It came apart. I'm tearing this thing apart. This has been with me for how many years?
Welcome to Dissecting with Andy on Tech Talk Radio.
For 12 years and it'll never work again.
I'm dissecting my technology right now. Oh, well, that was fun. I kind of destroyed that. Maybe they'll send me another one. It'll last me just as long. All right.
That's awesome.
So upgrade paths. I'm ready. I'm on an 8. I just have to decide, is it going to be, you think I should go Pixel?
Pixel. I really do. Honestly, I think that you being a technology guy, you would love the Pixel. And the Pixel 7 is going to be a great product. I just really feel like people should just wake up and get out of the Apple ecosphere, because Apple basically steals everything from Android and then says, oh, we did it better.
We said that's exactly what we said Justin would say, right, Sean?
We pretty much summed it up.
Yep. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We come back. We've got more Tech Talk Radio. Hopefully you guys can help me with a situation involving Windows Update. We'll be back. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeerd.
And I'm Justin. Let me find us on the web at techtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
So it's nice to have friends that know tech, so I can ask you questions, because I know nothing. I do have a question regarding Windows Update, and we've all been there. And this Windows Update is being run on a Windows 10 machine. It's a Dell, and it's an older machine, runs 4 gigabytes of memory. It's an i3 processor that's in it, and for some reason, it will not take an update. And, you know, unfortunately, Microsoft, in the way that they planned it, is if you did not run an update, you can't stop an update. You can turn off updates that are related to OS and basically the environment, but when it comes to security updates, you're forced to take them. And I was been able to go into services and turn off Windows Update so that we wouldn't get those, you know, those extra updates. But when it came to security updates, I had already turned it off for 35 days and I ran out of time to kind of figure out what's going on. So my options right now, because what happens every night now, the computer shuts down. Mm-hmm. And when it tries to reboot, you just get the spinny circle. So we turn it off for about 15 minutes, turn it back on. It does an automatic repair, removes that, and will run fine for the day. But it's an everyday thing. So I'm trying to think what my best option is here. Get a new PC or take a new drive and reinstall Windows on it. Run all the updates through to make sure it's nothing in the motherboard or memory that is causing this update to fail. Or clone the drive that's currently in there and try it that way in case it's just bad, you know, bad hard drive hardware.
Nah, it's not that.
What do you think? So any thoughts? What would you do in this situation? Because right now my first option is just to reinstall Windows on a new drive.
I've had this problem on my brand new Surface 8 Pro where certain updates just won't take. And it just keeps saying that the update failed.
Yeah.
Or failed installation. So you can delete the... You can delete the update cache, and I can't recall exactly how you do that.
Yeah.
But there is a way that you can delete the Windows update cache and allow it to just completely re-download the update again from scratch. And it's you're going to have to look it up. You're going to have to look up on Google, like how to delete Windows update cache or how to delete how to restart a Windows update that has failed. It's something you have to go into like the System 32 folder.
The thing is, I actually did do this. And I went through
you
those
did all
processes.
That already?
Yes. I went through those processes, went through the whole bit, and no matter what, it still wants to download. And when it downloads that security update, it crashes.
You still got that fire pit in the backyard?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, that's your next option. Yeah.
The 12 gauge. I like Sean's idea. Yeah, I don't know. You know, the thought was, okay, just start and do a Windows 10 install on it all the way through, run all the updates and see if it takes. Then the question was, well, what about all my programs? And then couldn't you just take that old drive and then clone it to the new one with the fresh Windows? I said, no, unfortunately, because it's going to try and move all the corrupt, if there's corrupted files
just
on
start
there.
From scratch. Just start from scratch.
Reinstalling everything.
Wipe the drive. You don't necessarily need a new drive, I would say. You could just run the Windows installer utility, boot from that, and do a fresh install of Windows and let it download the Windows from the web,
right?
And then install it and then see where you go. That's what I did. I had, what was it? Windows. Yeah, I had Windows 11. I was having all the problems. I got the Windows Media Creation tool. I booted from that and I started it again and I told it to just reinstall Windows from scratch. Mm-hmm. This is my work computer. And after that, everything just was fine. Everything is fine. All the Windows updates work fine. Everything is great. So there's a corrupted file somewhere in your System 32 or in the registry or something.
That's what I thought. And the last thing I want to do is do a restore back to a previous date and then try. I'm thinking better luck just to start from scratch. Kind of been thinking the way you're thinking about that too.
Yeah, there's a lot of times like it's a mystery, like a refresh Windows install solves so many problems.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It just works.
It used to be we would do that quite often, you know, but now we tend to just leave Windows on a system and let it run.
I try and do it every 2 years. Like I kind of don't try not to go longer than 2 years without wiping a drive and reinstalling Windows on it.
Yep.
That's kind
it's
of
about,
my
about the same.
Rule of thumb is just 2 years. All right. It's starting to do things, some weird stuff. Wipe it.
Windows
blow it
gets
out.
Bloated.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And you know, other things can be caused from malware. That can happen too. And they have had a history of that on this machine. So that's kind of what I'm up against there. So I'm going to have, but the thing is, it's going to take time. You got to plan it out when you're going to reinstall Windows on it and you're going to do the programs of the whole bit.
It's going to take a while.
Yeah. You got to plan for at least a day or two.
Well,
and
then you got to
remember all your settings.
Yeah. I had
to do a hard reset on my iPhone.
Uh-huh.
Like a full factory reset and a restore to iCloud because the FaceTime camera broke in mine. And all the app settings went away.
Oh.
All of my app settings. So all of my font sizes, all of my individual app settings, my Gmail settings, everything.
Wow.
So you think it's annoying when you're used to an app working a certain way or a certain look, dark mode even on certain things, and you're like, ugh. Then you got to figure out, okay, how did I have that before? How did I get that setting the way I liked it? And I'm still not up to date on all my apps because I don't remember how to change some of those settings. Or I don't remember why I liked it or how I got to the... Just remember that too, because it's like you're going to have all those Windows settings and the colors and how you had all your icons on your desktop.
Oh, yeah. The screen. Yeah.
Well, I just recently did that with my home PC. I actually went from an SSD that was with my Windows installation, and I went to an NVMe drive.
Right.
And what I did, but prior to reinstalling Windows is... What I did was I copied over the desktop folder to a backup drive. Just literally the folder called desktop.
Right.
I copied it over to a backup drive. So that way I knew what icons were on my desktop prior to reinstalling Windows. And then I just installed Windows 11 from scratch.
Yeah.
Now, this was a Windows 10 machine before that. I went ahead and I went with Windows 11 with this new processor and the new motherboard and everything. And once I did that, I found that my computer ran so much better.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, obviously, I'm running a better processor, a better motherboard, but just a fresh install of Windows. Everything was great. And then all I did was I just went into that backup desktop folder, and I just copied the icons back onto my desktop exactly where they were, even if the programs weren't installed. I copied the icons back to the desktop because that reminds me that,
what program?
Oh, I need to reinstall this program. I need to reinstall that program.
That's a good idea, actually. Yeah.
That way my desktop looks the same as it always has, but half the programs aren't there because I just haven't gotten around to reinstalling them yet.
One thing we've not talked about is you just got back from Japan and you haven't talked about your trip at all. And, you know, I know we have listeners. Last time you went to Japan, they thought it was pretty interesting.
The last time I was there was in 2019. We were going to go back in March of 2020, but that's obviously when the pandemic hit. So we haven't been back to Japan since 2019.
Wow.
September of 2019. This was our first. It was great. So we there's no direct flight from Denver anymore. That's coming back shortly, soon. But we did travel from Denver to San Francisco and then San Francisco to Tokyo. What I noticed was from Denver to San Francisco, we didn't have to wear masks on the plane because we don't, you know, they don't require that in the United States anymore. But the moment we got on board the plane from San Francisco to Tokyo, they're like, you're under Japanese law now. You have to wear masks.
Right.
I'm like, oh, crud. Like, I have to wear a mask for 9 hours.
How long is that hop? That's 9 hours?
9 hours. Yeah. 9.5 hours. Yeah. Yeah. So I wasn't too happy about that. But I also told my wife, too, it's funny. We were going to sit in economy, like, back in, like, row 51, which is, like, the very back of the plane. And I said, I am not sitting 9 hours in a tiny little seat. Like, I'm not going to do it. So I actually upgraded us to Economy Plus.
Right.
And I spent $600 to upgrade the three of us to Economy Plus. But it was so worth it because we got that front seat against the bulkhead. So there was nobody in front of us. So we had all that extra room where we could just stand up and, you know, do whatever. So that was great. But no, the flight wasn't too bad. We got there. I tell you right now, when we were there in 2019, they were remodeling Narita Airport for the 2020 Olympics.
Right.
And I had to wait in immigration line for, I want to say, about an hour and a half. I was through. Now, so when we got there, you had to go through a special COVID area where, and you had to do this pre-check. You?
Yeah.
No, okay. They removed the testing requirements, but you did have to do a bunch of like prerequisite stuff prior to you ever getting there, including an app where you had to upload your vaccination certificate, your passport information, all that stuff. And then the app would show like a different color, like green for good, yellow for maybe, and red for, hey, we need to talk to you about this.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, so we get there and we're all green. We walk through this whole thing. We had to walk like, oh my God, it seemed like forever that we had to walk. But we walked through this whole area that was like a section of the airport that wasn't being used. And it was a bunch of offices.
Right.
And we walked through and they just double check our passport information. They double check the COVID vaccination. And they're like, all right, you're good. Now you can go to immigration. So then we had to walk all the way back to immigration. And there was nobody in line. Like, seriously, not a single person. I was through immigration in less than a minute.
Nice.
And we got our bags. It was great. I was so happy. But then, the whole trip, I mean, yeah, you had to wear masks. This is the funniest part. Misa told me that there was a Japanese mask mandate that we had to wear masks everywhere we go in Japan because that's the law. And I'm like, not being somebody who's going to question that, I'm like, okay, fine, I'll wear masks. Even though I'm triple vaccinated and you understand my thoughts on the whole thing,
yeah.
I don't really believe I need to wear a mask, but fine, I'll do it because I'm told to. Fast forward 2 weeks. The day before I leave, she goes, oh, yeah, there was never a Japanese mask mandate. I just didn't want you to get looked at weird. I'm like, hold up a second. First off, I'm a white guy in suburban Tokyo. I am the only white guy in a 20-mile radius. I'm already being looked at weird.
Exactly.
Okay? So there's no difference of me wearing a mask or not. Like, I was super upset about that.
You could have worn a burqa. Yeah, you could have worn a burqa.
I was so mad. I'm like, so you're telling me this whole time I could have just been doing my own thing and still would have been looked at the same way. And she's like, yeah. Like,
you did so do mad. Something though that looked like a lot of fun, and it's cool because it seems like you embraced TikTok a little to make it happen.
Yeah. So I'm still on the goal to get rid of Facebook. I did kind of start joining a little bit of Snapchat, doing that kind of stuff. But then I've been starting to watch TikTok, and I'm, you know, say what you will about TikTok. I really enjoy TikTok.
There's some good ones on there.
There are. And there's a lot of cool, like memes that happen. Like the Billie Eilish meme. Have you seen that?
Where no,
it's like, it's not Billie Eilish herself, but it's a rapper that has a song called Billie Eilish. And it's like, Glock Tuck, big t-shirt, Billie Eilish. And you slap a t-shirt in front of the, so you start out looking like all like rugged, like you just woke up. And you slap the t-shirt in front of the camera right before as the beat drops. And then you show yourself looking really nice.
Okay, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. Yes. So that's kind of a cool one I've been watching. Anyway, whatever.
You know which one TikTok. Can I tell you which one I like on TikTok?
The AR Klee?
No, it's... No, it's not that one. What? It's the two guys that are just sitting there with their mouths full of water. And they watch...
Yes!
They watch funny videos.
And then they...
And they spew the water laughing. It's... It's hilarious. So I got to say, I like it.
I like
but
that.
You did a really well done one.
It was my very first attempt at doing a video on TikTok. And I used my DJI Pocket 2. And I found out a way to, I can hold it to the side and it will do automatic vertical video.
Right.
And so then I downloaded a free to use video editing program. So I just recorded a bunch of video on my DJI Pocket 2. Just little 10-second clips here and there. And then I edited the whole thing on my Surface in Japan. And then I got it all ready. I spent hours editing this video to make it look really cool.
It
and
did
Sean,
look
if
good.
You haven't, if you haven't seen it, Sean, I'll find a way to send it to you. Cause I don't think I could share it on Snapchat.
I wanted to ask if I could post it. Cause it's so, but you have your family in it. And I understand.
No, it's fine. You can post it. Definitely. I'll give you permission. You can post it. But the problem is it's 4.5 minutes long. And Here's the real sucky part. I uploaded it and I'm thinking, oh my God, this is going to go viral. Like I had tagged every single hashtag I could think of. The production quality was on point. It was interesting. I got a total of like 62 views.
That's better.
I'm
than
like,
nothing.
Are you kidding me? I was like, I spent hours on that thing. And I'm not doing it for the views, but for the amount of time that I took to edit that, I kind of thought that maybe it would kind of catch on. But the problem is TikTok is a platform that likes 1 minute or less videos.
Yeah, and we're finding out the popularity on YouTube Shorts is also now. YouTube's really going after those ones that are doing short videos that are, you know, people watch it and then they move on to the next one. They can put an ad in between. YouTube is looking at that as that's going to be the next big revenue generator for YouTube platformers.
They need to-
is shorter videos through YouTube Shorts.
They need to start doing ads for Ritalin. I'll tell you that right now.
Because the attention
people's
span.
Attention span is ridiculous.
Well, the video that I did was that got like 80,000 views. It was maybe a total of about 30 seconds.
Oh, wow.
Maybe even less. Might have been 11 seconds now that I think about it. And they're finding that more people are watching those because they'll go back and watch it again. So that's kind of the idea behind it. But a 4 minute TikTok video that is well done, which yours was, I think is still great.
It was a great video. I really honestly think even as I created it, looking at it like an outsider would, I thought it was a really well produced video because I did watch a lot of TikTok. I kind of took in a lot of creative ideas how people would make their videos, and I tried to do the same thing. I tried to record a little bit of that ASMR, you know, the auditory sounds where there's no talking, it's just the ambient sounds around you. I tried to do a little bit of all of that with a little bit of narration and a lot of jump cuts where it jumps from one scene to another. I personally thought it was a great looking video, but it just didn't get any views. So if you happen to be on TikTok, you can follow me at Donnie Narco. That's DonnieNarco, Donnie Narco. But I don't expect you to because, well, whatever.
You might get on TikTok and might want to follow. All right, we got to take another break. We come back. Sean has got even a new product to announce now to tell us about, which is pretty cool.
More DJI.
Yeah, they just keep throwing out the product.
Oh my God, it's not Wise for once? Oh my God.
So
we'll talk about it later. But.
So we'll do that when we come back. Justin's got to take off, so it'll be Sean and I continuing with the talks about computers, technology, and the internet. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeerd.
And I'm Justin. Let me find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Tech Talkers. We'll be right back.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. I'm John St. John, the voice of Duke Nukem and Big the Cat and a whole bunch of other crazy characters from video games. And you're listening to Tech Talk Radio. I know I do.
So I wanted to start off this segment thanking Sean because Sean, you know, we talked about this ad nauseum about 1Password and how my Google password manager had crashed. I lost like 200 and something passwords. I do have them saved in a document that's password protected, but I really wanted to get them so that, you know, they're more protected. And I started using 1Pass and then I was, gosh, I really hate this because I've got two browsers. I've got my, you know, different systems. I've got my smartphone and I was ready to give up. But Sean, you said, keep going. Just adopt it.
I went through all the struggles with it and it worked out for me. So anybody that wants a good password manager, 1Pass is the way to go.
It really is. And not that expensive. And right now I'm on the plan where it's just for me, but I was telling Gloria about it and she's like, well, I think I might need that as well. Because she does this, she writes it down on a little Rolodex card. So I'm thinking I'm going to go with the upgrade to the family one, so that way she can use it. And you get what, 5 different family members that can use it?
I think it's 5. I'd have to look again, but it's just me and Caitlin on it.
Yeah.
But we can add more, and it was very easy for once I got it all set up to add Caitlin's smartphone to it.
Once you get it going, like by the third day. After you had said, keep going, you know, it'll work. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Not bad. I just log in and I still have a pretty good password for my password manager, but I log in there and there is pretty much everything. When I want to add a new password, I go to a new website or I go to a website that had a password. I just enter the info and 1Password remembers it and it's great.
Well, and they have browser extensions too that can fill it in automatically from 1Pass.
Yeah, and that's what I'm using. So
then you're not storing your passwords in Google, you're storing them in 1Pass,
which is much safer.
So if somebody comes in and gets into your browser, they can't just go in and look at all your saved passwords.
Exactly, but
they would have to still get into your vault.
Yep, so. And that's what really convinced me. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. We were going to talk a little bit about DJI. You know, they keep introducing new things.
I feel like it went from every time we were on the show, we were talking about Wyze to now every time we're on the show, we're talking about DJI.
Yeah.
And I know it's because it's surrounding a lot of the broadcast trade shows right now. So like you had the International Association of Broadcasters, then you had New York NAB. And so you've had a lot of big ticket things from broadcast vendors that have come out. But this one caught me by surprise. So there are several other companies that make wireless video transmitters.
Right.
Teradek, Honeywell, a couple other vendors. DJI just put out a video transmitter called DJI Transmission. And it's a wireless transmission device that takes 3 gig SDI in, or HDMI in. So 3 gig means up to 1080p,
right.
5094. And it transmits it. So you plug it in, it transmits it to a receiver, which is a monitor that you can mount to a tripod or mount to a pole or whatever. But what's cool about this specifically is they have made it work where if you have one transmitter and one receiver, you can control cameras on the other end.
Oh, wow.
So it works independently with their Ronin gimbal system.
Right.
So if you're holding onto it, it comes with hand grips, not included. Obviously, you have to pay extra for that. But if you're holding the monitor and looking at it, whatever motions you make with the monitor, left, right, up, down, tilt, back, tilt, forward, it moves the gimbal.
Oh, that's amazing. So you have a camera in a remote situation. It's sending it to that what you're holding, and then you're able to control that. So you don't have to be manning that camera over there.
Correct. And it works with the Sony Alpha series, where you can actually use the menu options on the camera too. So that's cool. But they also have, if anybody's worked in the broadcast
the crane industry or the like the telescoping boom arm industry and the jib industry.
Yeah.
They make what they called wheels. So they're these wheeled controls that control pan and tilt based on a wheel.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They make a three wheel system that connects to this transmission device, so you can control a Ronin via the wheels. So you have much more fine-tuned controls. If you don't really understand what I'm talking about, just go to DJI.com/transmission. Check it out. It's really, really amazing. It's at the industry standard price, which is about $3,000. They claim 20,000 foot transmission distance.
It's quite a range. 20,000 feet?
20,000 feet. It's got all the industry, the frequency hopping between 2.4 gig or 5.8 gig, and it'll bounce around and find the best wireless frequency. It's got the high gain antennas. It's battery powered, or you can hard power it if you have AC, but you just got to check it out. This is by far the highest claim distance on any of these devices is 20,000 feet.
Are they using the same technology like they are on the Avata where, you know, basically you're using, you know, FPV and you're wearing the headset, you're controlling the camera with that? As more and more demos have been coming out about the Avata, I'm thinking, guy, I wish I would have held on for a little while longer and instead of getting the DJI Mini 3 Pro, maybe gone with that, because that has some really cool looking features to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like any other technology, right? If you wait for the next new thing, you're going to always be waiting for the next new thing, right?
So exactly, yeah.
You got to find what you like and get into it. But this thing is really cool. It caught a lot of the industry by surprise, where it's like, oh, it's just another wireless transmitter. I kind of want to get one.
I mean, can you convince work to invest in one?
There are a lot of scenarios at my work that this could come in handy.
Well, yeah.
You don't have to have a Ronin to make this work, right? It's just it's a bonus feature that it can control the Ronin. It can do all these fancy things. All you need is a camera that outputs 3 gig SDI or lower. So 720p, 1080i, 1080p, right? Or HDMI. It'll take HDMI in, right? So you could just you could mount this on top of a camera at a football game and run around the field during the football game and have a receiver mounted somewhere where you have, you know, infrastructure to get it to the truck or get it into a recorder and have a wireless camera.
So what I'm also liking about this is like for houses of worship that maybe do a recording every week, they have, you know, maybe cameras that they set up. They have to run the cables. Then they got to worry about, you know, possibly somebody running over the cables, tripping the whole bit. This could eliminate cable usage and having to run those cables all the time because you're actually bringing that signal in.
Exactly.
Wow. Like that.
So I think this is a little out of the price range for houses of worship, right?
Yeah.
There are other vendors who make much shorter range, 300, 200, 150 foot transmitters that are
right.
Much more ideal for house of worship and those types of things. This is for extreme RF environments where you're trying to go, you know, 8,000-9,000 feet where you've got a producer and a set. And they're doing controlled explosives or something, right? And you need to be a distance away. So there's a need for this, not for everybody, but in the broadcast industry, there's definitely a need for this.
I'm thinking sports would be good for that. Concerts. Yeah, there definitely could be some great, great uses for that. Okay, DJI.com/transmission. That's where they can find that.
I love geeking out about this stuff. So
now I'm kind of bummed that Justin had to leave and is missing out on us talking about a couple of big game franchises. We know that this past week, Overwatch 1 went bye-bye. It was, and I hear it was very sad.
It was sad. So Overwatch came out, I think it originally launched in late 2015, early 2016.
Yeah.
I played in the original beta for Overwatch because it was a whole new IP for them.
Right.
They had never done anything like this. They had never done a first-person shooter, and it was wildly successful for them. And it generated a lot of esports interest. They have their own Overwatch League, if you watch that, if anybody watches that, if you're interested in esports at all. And it kind of just took off, right? So it's a very fun fantasy-themed game. You can go into the lore and spend days searching the lore and stuff, but Overwatch 2 was announced, and it's finally coming out. October 4th was right. when it launched. And
matter of fact, at record time, you are waiting to start Overwatch.
As soon as we are done recording the show, I will be playing Overwatch 2. So we are recording the show on October 4th.
Yes.
But Overwatch 1 ended Saturday, so 3 days ago.
Yeah.
From the recording of the show. And it was sad because I've spent a lot of time playing this game. And, you know, I'm not going to be able to go. You can't go back and play Overwatch 1 because right. it's kind of blending into Overwatch 2. So it's just going to be a whole different experience, whole different game, whole different layout, new characters, new, you know, reward system, all this stuff. So it's just a bittersweet thing, but I'm really excited for Overwatch 2 because I've heard really good things about it. It's just another game that I'm going to spend a lot of time playing.
Now, where can people get Overwatch? Can they get this through Steam? Is this, how is it available?
Yeah. So my understanding is that it's available, going to be available on PlayStation, Xbox, PC. You can get it from us.battle.net or just go to overwatch.com and download it from the Blizzard launcher. It's free to play.
Oh,
the original version of Overwatch was not free to play. You had to pay. It was like $29.99 or something, but Overwatch 2 is free to play, but it's heavily monetized with battle passes and microtransactions and things like every other free game that exists. So
yeah. But if you want to walk around and try the environment and see how it runs on your system, this would be, you'd be able to do this then.
Yeah, it's free to play. So Blizzard has a lot of my attention. I've played a lot of Blizzard games all the way back to the original Warcraft, the original, you know, Orcs and Humans, and all the way back to, you know, the mid-90s when I started actually playing video games. So.
Oh, wow. Amazing. All right, we got to take a quick break, though. When we come back, you've got another one that...
Here's another throwback.
And all right.
I won't spoil it.
So. All right, so we'll do that when we come back with more of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeird. Find us on the web at techtalkradio.com.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
So I'm going to list off a couple things.
All right.
You're going to tell me what year they're from and why I was excited about this.
Oh, wow. All right.
Michael Phelps is the first person to win 8 gold medals in 1 Olympic Games. The CERN collider was turned on.
Ooh, wow. All right.
One of the largest tornado events in the U.S. history happened in this year.
All right. They all have the same year.
Yep. Those events all happened in the same year.
All right. What was the year? What was the year?
2008.
2008. All right.
Happened to also be the year I graduated from college.
Oh, wow.
You and Justin know that I really enjoy playing World of Warcraft. If you are watching the video, my microphone has World of Warcraft branded on it.
Oh, that's right.
November of 2008, Wrath of the Lich King, the second expansion for World of Warcraft, launched. I spent an absurd amount of time playing that game. I'm going to share a picture, and Andy can put it on the web,
right.
of our setup, of me and my friend and his wife playing only a couple days after launch in 2008. Recently, if you've been following the show, I've been playing the classic version of World of Warcraft, meaning they went back and remade the original, then they did the first expansion, and they just launched, just over a week ago, Wrath of the Lich King Classic.
Okay.
Talk about a nostalgia bomb.
Is it really?
It is. It took me back, and I remembered why I enjoyed playing it. It's fun. There's a lot of people are playing it. My friends are playing it. And it's just like, man, I wish I could be 22 years old again.
Yeah, go back to 2008.
Right,
I wouldn't mind the prices of things back in 2008.
Yeah, so I should have looked up the prices. Yeah, gas was still like $3.50 a gallon or something.
Yeah.
So I've been playing that quite a bit.
How does it hold up from...
It holds up. I mean, there's a lot of quality of life things in the game that got added in later that weren't in this version of the game. But it still holds up. It's fun. It's fun to go back into the dungeons and be like, oh, yeah, I remember fighting this boss, and I remember doing this raid, and I remember doing these quests, and I remember running around just looking at the environment because it was so different, and it was beautiful, and and now I've got my 3080, and
right.
I'm trying to even remember what I ran on back then. I think I was just running a Toshiba Satellite Series laptop.
So the graphics are much better.
With a Pentium 4. I think it might even have been just a single core processor
right.
at that time. I don't even know, but it barely ran it, right? So it's been a ride. So.
If you had to give a tip to Sean, somebody that has never played World of Warcraft and is going to be getting into this, what would you tell him?
You can just go to us.battle.net, sign in, create an account.
Right.
You can download the game for free, and you can play up to level 20 for free.
Okay.
So if you're interested in it at all, you can log in, download it, play it for free to kind of get a feel. It gives you kind of an idea of what each – you could play whatever class you want or whatever character you want and get a feel for it. If you love it, you love it. If you hate it, you hate it.
We'll put the link up on our blog at blog.techtalkradio.com. That is it for this week. Some great stuff, Sean. Thank you for completing the run. And again, thanks for the heads up on 1Pass. Very good program, 1Password.com. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, I'll see you around.
Enjoy the Overwatch.
Woohoo!
I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeird. See you next week.